to what Friday night and yesterday held, this is a beautiful day. Certainly the Lord has been with us and provided for His people. And you know, we can replace, you know, things, but y'all are special. I'm glad to see every one of y'all. I'm glad that the Lord has provided for y'all and protected y'all, and that we're all able to gather here this morning. You know, the world will say that's a coincidence, but I tell you, that's just Lord. That's the Lord's providence. The Lord provides. The Lord provides for His people. We have a God that is able. I don't want to waste too much time this morning because the verse and the chapter and what the Lord has given me is so rich, and I wouldn't waste any time with it. If you got your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Kings in chapter 18. You'll find in this book, and it's important to realize that at this point in history, that the nation of Israel has been divided into two kingdoms. You got the kingdom of Israel, you got the kingdom of Judah. There's a king, the kingdom of Israel there, the king that was there, Hosea at the time, had tried to make league with Egypt. And there was a conspiracy there against the king of Assyria, and it had angered the king of Assyria. You'll find that during this time that the kingdom of Israel was not obedient to God. They had set up idols in the places of God. They had exalted in the high places the idols of the land that they were in. They had torn down His altars and put up graven images and symbols and brass and gods that were no gods. They had angered the Lord God. But they made league with it. They tried to make league with the king of Egypt behind the back of the king of Syria. King of Syria was angered by that. And he had come into the land and he had led the kingdom of Israel captive. And had defeated them and laid siege to their walled cities. And he had done all those things. And now he had come to Jerusalem to the king of Judah. It was Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a just king. He tried to follow God. He tried to do what was right. You know, you'll find in the beginning of this chapter that Hezekiah, when the king of Assyria had came against him, it says he took down the gold and things out of the city and tried to give tribute to the king of Assyria to try to withstay his wrath. But you'll find that that wasn't enough for the king of Assyria. He still laid at the door. He still lays siege. He had come to seek to destroy Jerusalem. There was great fear. There was a lot of fear. There was fear amongst God's people then. You'll find in this life, as a child of God, when you try to compromise with this old world, there's no compromise. This old world is never satisfied. The father of this old world is never satisfied until he's consumed and destroyed the life of the child of God. There was no compromising with the king of Syria. But we find in 2 Kings chapter 18 that after all this, the king of Syria sent a messenger unto the king of Judah, King Hezekiah. In verse 17 of chapter 18, 2 Kings, it says, "And the king of Syria sent Tardan and Rabsaris and Ramshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And then when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fooler's field." They were right on the doorstep with a great host, a great army. "And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" Who you trusting in, Hezekiah? Who you trusting in, nation of Israel? "Thou sayest..." And Rabshakeh said unto them, "Speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, unto all that trust on him. Now it's important to imagine this picture. When you think about a bruised reed might still be standing, but it's been broken. There's no strength in it. And that's what Rabshakeh is telling King Hezekiah. Are you going to depend on Egypt like Hosea did? Are you depending on him? You making league with him? See, that's what it made the king of Assyria mad to start with. Is your confidence in Egypt? There's no confidence in Egypt. He's like a bruised reed. There's no strength there. Now thou behold, thou trustest upon the staff of this bruised reed, even unto, upon Egypt, on which if a man lead, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and all that trust on him. There's no trust in Egypt. What are you trusting in, Hezekiah? But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God. Is that not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah had taken away? Hezekiah had already taken the gold off of the temple and the holy places and given it to Hezekiah, trying to withstand him. Is that the God you're trusting in? And has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. Now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my lord the king of Assyria, and I will deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. How then wilt thou turn away the face of one captain, the least of my master's servants, and put thy trust on Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? In the next few verses, Rabshakeh just goes on to reproach and tear down the Lord God and tries to belittle and discourage King Hezekiah and all those. See, at this point, he was just speaking to the captains, to the leaders of Israel. And see, that's not enough for this whole world. You know, preachers sometimes, they go through a lot. They get discouraged. But you know what? We're not in this alone, brother. See, we all part of the body of Christ, and we all in this together. And when the world comes for one of us, it comes for all of us. Rabshakeh didn't stop there. The leaders had asked him to just speak to him in the Assyrian language because they understood it, not to speak to him in the Hebrew language so the other men that were there on the wall wouldn't hear. But when, that's not good enough for Rabshakeh. What does Rabshakeh say? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jews' language. He wanted everybody to hear the rebuke and the reproach he was putting on the Lord God. With a loud voice in the Jews' language spake, saying, hear the word of the great king. Oh, this old world thinks they serve a great king. Let me tell you something, child of God. We serve the only king, the king of kings. He is our king, the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Don't listen to your king. Don't listen to what the Lord God has told us to do. Don't listen to his commandments. That's what the world tells the child of God. For he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Oh, the world and this old devil down here thinks he's got a lot of power. And he's going to tell the child of God that. It's a lie. Don't you believe that lie, child of God. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. And this city shall not be delivered into the king, hand of the king of Assyria. He's speaking that in the Jews' language so they could all hear. Is that just the leaders? That's what they all, what they do to one of us, they do to all of us. We all suffer the same temptations and the same trials and the same tribulations. We all in this together, child of God, all the family of God, we in this together while we live down here. We're sojourning and pilgrims in this land together. Saying the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered in the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria. Make an agreement with me. Make a compromise. Compromise what you believe, child of God. Compromise what the king said. There's no room for compromise when it comes to God's word. You either do it or you don't. There's no half doing it. But I tell you, there's life and
refuge and protection in doing what God has told us to do and keeping His commandments. He tries to bribe the children of Israel here. He says, make an agreement with me by a present and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of his cistern, until I come and I'll take you to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive oil and of honey, that ye may live and not die. See, that's what the world promises you. It promises you all of the joy and the precious things of this old life, of this old world, the treasures. Children, in the kingdom of heaven, we have treasures they don't know of. They don't understand. The whole things of this whole world are going away. See, what the king of Assyria doesn't know is when he was talking about the king of Egypt, calling him a bruised reed, see, to our God, every king, every ruler of darkness in this old world, that's all they are. They're all bruised reeds. He was calling the king of Egypt a bruised reed. But I want you to know this king of Assyria is just a bruised reed too to our God. And he goes on and runs down the Lord God through the next few verses. And then they bring word back to Hezekiah. And they tell him all what the world had to say, all the things that this Rabshakeh had to say about our God. And I want you to know what Hezekiah, notice what Hezekiah does in chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Hezekiah bowed down. He knew where his strength came from. He repented. He rent his clothes. He put himself in sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. I tell you what, when you start listening to what this world says and the Rabshakehs of this world, I tell you, there's a place you need to go and find out what God said. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Yeah, he wanted to know what God had to say. And this is what God had to say down in verse 6. See, God sends His prophets to speak the words of God to His king. Verse 6, it says, and Isaiah said unto him, thus shall ye say to your master, thus saith the Lord. This is what the Lord had to say about the matter. Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Syria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon them, and she shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. He's going to die in his own country. Don't you worry about him. He's not going to lay a hand in Jerusalem. He'll never set foot in Jerusalem. For the Lord God said so. See, our strength is not in the things of this world. Our strength is in God. Our strength is in the Lord God. Child of God, there's always going to be the spirits of Rabshakeh in this old world. There's always going to be voices telling you your God is weak, that He doesn't hear, that He's not able. We have it left on record time and time again where our God has delivered His people from impossible odds. How much greater is He to do the little things for us? Tree didn't fall on your house this weekend. I tell you, God protected you. I don't believe it's coincidence. We're able to meet and praise His name this morning after everything went on the other night and the roads were blocked. I tell you, God has provided. It's not coincidence. The same God today was the same God that delivered the children of Israel here back in Hezekiah from the king of Assyria. There's nothing too great or too small for our God to deliver us from. He's still on His throne. But I want you to understand that the things of this old world, they're all just bruised reeds. They have no strength when they face our God. They cannot withstand Him. That's what a bruised reed can't do. They can't withstand a force like our God. We've had that left on example then why, brethren, do we spend so much time and energy worrying about these old bruised reeds? You know, we've had it left on example. The greatest example there ever was for a child of God on how to deal with these bruised reeds. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. We go down to verse 20. Let's back up a little bit. We'll find here in chapter 12 where the Lord Jesus Christ has just healed a child of God. He stretched forth his hand and healed it on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees and Sadducees have found fault against him for that, for doing good. Child of God, when we try to do good and follow what God has done in this life, there's always going to be the Rabshakehs, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees to stand there and try to accuse you for doing good. That don't mean we ought not do it. In verse 14, chapter 12, Matthew, it says, "And the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us an example of how to go about God's business while we walk through this life. It says he didn't cry in the streets. He didn't strive. He didn't stand up, scream and yell on a street corner. What did he do? He healed the hand. He went about doing good. And he didn't do it for the honor of men. See, if he was doing it for the honor of men, he would have made a show about it. But what does he say? He says he charged them that they should not make him known. See, he wasn't doing it for men. He was doing it because his Father had given him a work to do. And he was all about his Father's business. From the time he was born on this earth to the time he left it. See, God had given him a work to do. He didn't have time. You know, they got a saying right now, "I ain't got time for that." I'll tell you what, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have time for these old bruised reeds and these smoking flax. These old Pharisees and Sadducees. You think about that bruised reed again. It's already broken. Lord, save Jesus Christ. There wasn't no point in turning it. It was already broken. The smoking flax. You know what that is? It's a wick that's burned out. It's just smoking. There's no fire there. There's no light there. It's already out. There's no point in messing with that thing or worrying about what it had to say. He was about his Father's business. He did what his Father told him to. See, the very manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down to this earth meant an end to this old law worship. It meant an end to these old Pharisees and Sadducees and the righteousness they sought by the law. See, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has freed us from the law of sin and death. He's put that out. And he's made us free. He didn't strive. He didn't worry about this old bruised reed and that smoking flax. That's all this old world is a bruised reed and a smoking flax. It's been put out. But it was still standing, and it was still smoking. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says this. It says, He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. It says, a bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Until Until what? Until He sent forth judgment unto victory. Judgment unto victory. And in His name shall the Gentiles trust. See, He didn't bother with these old bruised reeds and this old smoking flax because He had a work to finish. But when that work is finished, I want you to know He's going to fold all this up. It's going to be over. But He had a job to do. He had to attain victory for those that were guilty. He had to proclaim innocence to those that were guilty. When you think about that, it says, till He send forth judgment unto victory. Well, who sends forth judgment? I tell you, the judge does. Who is our judge? The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is our judge. And if the judge has proclaimed you innocent, because see, in a court of law, that's what victory is. It's being proclaimed innocent. I tell you what, He had a job to do. He had to proclaim those that He loved, not of the Jew only, but also of the Gentile. Everyone that was born, that was to be born again, a child of God. He had a job to do, and He wasn't going to be fold these things up. He wasn't going to break that reed. He wasn't going to quench that flax until victory had been attained for every child of God without the loss of one. And when He did, He had attained victory. You think about what all happened after the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross. He obtained victory and proclaimed innocence to every child of God. He obtained that for us. He went into the grave and He came forth alive. That's how we know the offering was accepted. And that was the end of that old law worship. That was the end of that. You know, there was a judgment that fell on the nation of Israel after that. 70 A.D., they came and they crushed Jerusalem and tore down the temple. It was all over. But that wasn't until after He accomplished what He came to do. That wasn't until after He had came down and struck down Paul on the road to Damascus and sent the gospel to the Gentiles. But after all those things were accomplished, we saw that these things fell. They were over. And He attained victory. And now He sits forever on the right hand of God. That we don't have to worry about the bruised reeds and the smoking flax of this world. And one day, because of what He's done, we're going to be like righteous Stephens when we lay down and fall asleep. Because that's what the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ calls it for the child of God, is asleep. I want you to know one day we're going to fall asleep in Christ. And we'll be just like righteous Stephens. One day we'll open our eyes. And we'll see the heavens open. And we'll get to see our Savior sitting on the right hand of God. Not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. And we'll forevermore be with the Lord. See, child of God, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has made you invincible. You can't die. That's what invincible is to me. I see children of God walking around this old earth like they haven't obtained the victory. Like they got something to fear. If the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for you and rose again, I want you to know one day we'll rise too because of what He's done. Invincible. This old world can't touch you. This old devil can't touch you. That ought to give us some strength. That ought to give us some trust. That ought to give us some rest while we walk through this old life. I thank you for your good, honor, attention.